Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Be'ah Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you'll find the second line from the top of Daf Yud Beis. The Mishnah deals with the issue of carrying items on Yom Tov from a private domain to a public domain, or vice versa. We refer to this in Hilchos Shabbos terms as Hoitzah. Beis Shammai Oimrim, Ein Moitzien Loi Es HaKoton Veloi Es HaLulov Veloi Es Sefer Torah Lirushus HaRabim. Beis Shammai is quite restrictive, and they say that you cannot carry anything that's not a food item. You cannot carry a child, a lulav, nor a Sefer Torah from a private domain to a public domain. Beis Hillel Matir, and Beis Hillel allows. The sukkah introduction, the topical introduction, we feature on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei, the topic heading, and there's a word that we feature, mitoch. Mitoch in English might mean since, and you'll see how we apply that when we go into the topic. Nisayon lehamid machlokes beisham beis hillel. There's an attempt on the part of the Gemara to set up the machlokas, the controversy between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Be'im oimrim, do we say mitoich shehutra melocha letzorech hutra nami shelo letzorech? That since we allow a particular melocha for a Yom Tov purpose, so we will allow it even for a non-Yom Tov purpose. Or if we get a little more specific, since we allow a melacha for eating purposes, will we allow it also for a non-eating purpose? Yesh lo yer, the gisha zu, yichloil ko ha-melachas v'lo rak hutzah. This approach that we use a heter of Yom Tov as a springboard to allow further, even non-Yom Tov, doesn't apply just to hutzah. That would be in our Mishnah, we see the Malach of Hoitzah featured. What about other Malachas that we know are Mutter on Yom Tov? For example, lighting a fire, or cooking, Shechita, other kinds of Malachas that are allowed on Yom Tov. Will we carry that permission further? So, that's the issue. Let us now turn to the Gemara. Toni Tano Kamei Rav Yitzchok Bar Avedimi. So there was someone that stated a Tanaic source in the presence of Rav Yitzchok, and it states, Hashochet Oilas Nidova B'Yom Tov Loike, one who slaughters a sacrifice. It's an Ola sacrifice. However, it's a voluntary offering. It's not Yom Tov related. It's not a korban that the Torah orders me to bring on Yom Tov. It's a Nidova, a voluntary offering. And if one slaughters it on Yom Tov in the Beis HaMikdash, Loka, he is subject to Malkus for being lashed for having violated the Torah restriction against doing Malachas on Yom Tov. Just like one is not allowed to, let's say, write a letter on Yom Tov or construct a building on Yom Tov, likewise, slaughtering an Olas Nedova on Yom Tov will result in the Yom Tov punishment of lashing. Omale, Rav Yitzchok, upon hearing this, says, "The Omar Loch money, that which you just taught, this Tanakh source, is in accordance with whom? Beis Shammai." Take note, by the way, that we're beginning a long point. The nun that's encircled indicates an akuda, a long point. So, who is the author of this? It would have to be Beis Shammai. De Amri, they say, and you can see this in our Mishnah, Lo yamrinon, we do not say the following. And notice we have singular quotation marks around a phrase we do not say. Mitoch shehutra hotzah, letzorach hutra nami shelo letzorach. Since hotzah, carrying from one domain to another, is allowed, letzorach, for when, if it's a food purpose, you need to carry food from your house to a public area. You are allowed to do that. So hutra nami shelo letzorach, we allow carrying for non-food related matters on Yom Tov. There is that we do not say. That would be according to Beis Shammai, the Beis Hillel. If your teaching of Hashochet Olas Nedava B'Yom Tov Lokeb were according to Beis Hillel, it wouldn't fit. Ho Amrinon, we say Mitoch Shutro Tzol Tzor Hutro Nami Shelo Tzor. Since we are Matir Hoitzah for food purposes, we're matired for non-food purposes as well. Hachanami, so too with regard to the shechita, the slaughtering of the olas nedava, mitoch shehutra shechita letzorech, since slaughtering is allowed for yom tov purposes, hutra nami shelo letzorech, we would allow slaughtering even for a non-yom tov purpose. So that's a point, that's a long point that Rabbi Yitzchak made, that the Tanaic source taught in his presence of Hashochet Olas Nedava B'Yom Tov Loke, that it's punishable. That conforms to Beis Shammai's approach, that when we have a heter, the heter is limited to that which is directly, say, Yom Tov food related, but not any further. And that we saw in our Mishnah, and that's what we want to apply to this analysis. Well, we continue. You see triangles, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivneh heading, you can see Maskif Law is the term highlighted in the triangle. She'elos Birur Kivunim Hafuchim. These are questions of clarification purposes, but you'll see that they appear in opposite directions. HaGemara Malef Sharus Shemachlus Beishamis Hillel. The Gemara will raise as a possibility that the Machlokis between Beishamai Beis Hillel Bechlal Hamalachas Oy Miyuchad L'Sheila Im Yesh Dine Erev Hoitzah B'Yom Tov Kamosh Yesh V'Shabbos. Either the Machlokas based on Beis Shammai is a general Machlokas, we're applying to all Malachas. When we say the Machlokas, we're referring to the Machlokas in our Mishnah concerning carrying a child out on Yom Tov or a Sefer Torah Lulav, what is the machlokas concerning? Is it concerning all malachas and the Mishnah just gives us an example of a malacha? Or is it a machlokas that is limited to the issue of carrying? Namely, do the laws of Eruv and Hotzah, the term Eruv is mentioned here by the way. Let's focus on Hotzah. Eruv is the phenomenon of setting up a situation to enable you to carry from one domain to another without getting into any details. There's a whole Masechta named Maseches Eruvin. But for our purposes, we're dealing with Hoitzah, carrying an item from a private domain to a public domain or vice versa. Is the dinim of Eruvin Hoitzah apply to Yom Tov like they apply to Shabbos or not? Or they don't apply. But avolagabi shar malachas lo nomar mitoch. But regarding other malachas, no one will say mitoch. And then that would have direct ramifications to the source concerning slaughtering, which is not a malacha of hoitzah. It's a separate malacha. It's slaughtering, not carrying from one domain to another. So, with that introduction in mind, we continue with the Gemara. First triangle, you see almost halfway down. Maskif lo rava. Notice it's also a long marking. Maskif lo rava. Mimai de Beis Shammai's Hillel b'ha pligi. Who says that the machlokes concerns the issue of mitoch, of extending the heter of Yom Tov to even non-Yom Tov actions? Dilma Be'eruv v'hoitzah l'Shabbos v'ein eruv v'hoitzah l'Yom Tov komifligi. Maybe the point of machlokes is this, namely that the laws of hoitzah are restricted to Shabbos and don't apply to Yom Tov. Mor Savar, Beis Shammai would say Erevoy Tzol Shabbos, Erevoy Tzol Yom Tov. You can see that Beis Shammai, who's we're dealing with a Yom Tov Mishnah, says just like on Shabbos there are Hotzah restrictions, so too on Yom Tov there are Hotzah restrictions. And all carrying will be forbidden except for food-related matters. And food-related matters have a special heter. But if it's non-food-related, it is forbidden. Umo Savar, Beis Hillel, would say, Eruv Hotzah l'Shabbos v'ein, Eruv Hotzah l'Yom Tov. The laws of carrying do not apply to Yom Tov. Kidechtiv, V'loy Sotziu Masa Mibotechem B'yoyim HaShabbos. B'Shabbos, in B'Yom Tov, this pasuk in Yirmiyahu says that do not carry from your houses to the outside is on Shabbos. It's a restriction of a Shabbos nature, not Yom Tov. Now, if that were true, if this analysis is correct, then regarding the Shochet Olas Nedava, Loke would be according to everybody. Beis Hillel doesn't have any leniency regarding Shechita. His leniency is only with regard to Hoitzah, as the Pasuk bears out. Maskif Lo Rav Yosef. And now Rashi is very sensitive to the structure of the Gemara when he says on this, that this is a kash, it's an attack, ahach atakafto de Rabbo. Was Rabbo presented his issue that we just saw in the first triangle, and now this is an attack on what Rabbo said. Maskif lo Rav Yosef. Elo me'ato. Lichligu be'avonim. If this were true, that the whole machlokas in the Mishnah is a purely hoitzah related machlokas, and that Beis Hillel says there is no iser hoitzah in Yom Tov, then liflegu bavonim, let Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue concerning moving of stones. Rashi across from here says liflegu bavonim, I ein iser hoitzah, if someone would be of the opinion that there's no Isser Hotzah, there's no prohibition of carrying on Yom Tov from one domain to another, Ein Isser Tiltol, there would also be no Isser of moving things that we call Muktza. Isser Tiltol, it's called Tiltol Muktza, moving Muktza items around. There would be no restriction on that. Shelo Nesar Tiltol Elo Mishum Hotzah. The rabbis prohibited moving different items around, prohibited klishim lachdut iser. They provided moving items that are not used for mutter, for allowed activities on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Why did they prohibit the moving of those things? Elo mishum hoitzah. Only because we don't want you carrying items out into the public domain. That which on Shabbos there isn't a prohibition of moving anything, of there was across the board prohibition of food and utensils as well, cutlery, we do move those things. That's Mishum Dein Goizrin Gzer Al Tzibor Elam Kin Roiv Tzibor Yecholim Lanmud. But we don't impose rabbinic restrictions unless the majority can handle the restriction. That level of restriction the public could not handle. However, a restriction on moving around items like pens and pencils and scissors and rulers, those are vessels, those are items that are m'lachtan l'isur. There is a prohibition of moving them. And why is there a prohibition of moving them? Because there is a prohibition of carrying items from a public domain to a private domain or vice versa. So if the issue between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai was a hoitzah issue, there would have been a featured machlokes concerning moving stones. Someone would say, Beis Hillel would say, you're allowed to move stones. You're allowed to move them around in your house. And Beis Shammai would say, no. Elo. The Gemara continues. Midolo miflegi b'avonim. From the fact that there is no machlokes concerning avonim. Rather, everyone, even Beis Hillel asers, they prohibit the moving of stones around in your house. Shma mino. This comes to show us that the machlokis is not a machlokis regarding the existence of the iser hoitzah on Yom Tov, but rather boitzah shelo lutzorech pligi. carrying for non-eating purposes. That is their machlokas. In other words, carrying for a non-eating purpose, but there is a Yom Tov purpose. If you have a non, if it's an issue of a non-Yom Tov purpose, so then everyone will agree you cannot carry out from private domain to public domain. Because on Yom Tov there is a basic Isur Hotzah. There's a basic Isur Hotzah, and there's a certain realm of flexibility, a realm of exceptions, but there is a basic Isur Hotzah. Because if there wasn't an Isur Hotzah, a prohibition of Hotzah whatsoever in the mind of one of the opinions, so someone would have said you can move stones around as well. No one says that though. So we take a look at the Rashi who elaborates, El Midolo Iflug Bavonim. There's no argument concerning moving of stones around in your home. Rather, everyone holds that would be prohibited, that's forbidden. Shma mino de lekule almo yesh hoitzo liyontov. Rashi explains, everyone holds that there is a basic Yisr hotzon yontov elo. Shemin ha-Torah hutra letzorach. Rather, from the Torah perspective, if there's something that is a need, it's a Yom Tov related need, the Torah allows. So Beisil Islahu, Kevon Shehud Dehutra Letzorach, Beisil holds from the principle of Migu that we mentioned before, or Mitoch, it's since we allow it, Letzorach, Hutra Min HaTorah Legamri. It's completely allowed. Ela Rabbonan Gozer B'midi Dehavi Tircha Deletzorach. However, the Rabbonan imposed a restriction for a matter that is not needed for Yom Tov at all, like stones. So that according to Beis Hillel, there is a basic Iser Hoitzah. However, there is also the counterforce of Mitoch. Mitoch is a concept that then applies not just to Hoitzah, but applies to all Malachas. If something has no Yom Tov need whatsoever, like stones, so everyone agrees that you cannot carry that out either. Aval bekotan v'sefer Torah d'srichim l'biyom tov lo gozer. But a child or a sefer Torah that have a Yom Tov need, the child needs to go from one place to another, so you can carry the infant out, or a sefer Torah, they're needed for Yom Tov, so you can carry them outside. Lo gozer, they didn't impose a gozer on that. Ubeis Shammai les lehu migu. Beis Shammai doesn't hold from the concept of migu or mitoch. We explained before, an extension. Since it's mutter for food, it's mutter for other things. Umidi detzorach achilo shatorah hitiroso huter. That which is food related, carrying food from one item to another, from one place to another, that is allowed. V'sheino tzorach achilo bisura omeid min haTorah. That which is not needed for eating, carrying other items like a child or a sefer Torah, so that remains on its Torah level prohibition. So, just to review the main point, Rabbah tried to advance the idea that the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, as seen in the Mishnah, is not a mere example, but it's limited to the case of Eruv Hoitzah L'Shabbos Vein Eruv Hoitzah B'Yom Tov. Rav Yosef says, if the machlokes were limited to is there an Isra Hotzon Yom Tov, there would have been a machlokes concerning Avonim. But that didn't appear. So Rav Yosef says, the machlokes in the Mishnah really is representative of a general klal. Do you apply the concept of mitoch to all malachos? A malacha that has a basic, let's say, opening, heter, can you go all the way with that? We continue in the Gemara. V'af Rabbi Yochanan, note, by the way, that this is a long point. V'af Rabbi Yochanan, Sovar, B'mitoch Shehutra Hoitzo, Letzorch, Hutra Nami, Shalo, Letzorch, Pligi. Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to Rav Yosef's approach that the machlokes is a general machlokes. And just to, by the way, a point I failed to review was that if you say that it's a general machlokes, then the source that appeared at the beginning of the Gemara, Shochet Olas Nedova B'Yomtov Loke, that would be in accordance with Beis Shammai alone. Beis Hillel would not agree. So we continue with a long point that eventually will show us that Rabbi Yochanan also explains, like Rav Yosef, that the machlokis in the Mishnah is a machlokis concerning mitoch. Let's read that line again. V'af Rabbi Yochanan sofer b'mitoch shehutru l'tzorach 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 nami shelo l'tzorach. Since the Torah gives a heter for hoitzah for food purposes, the Torah, according to Beis Hillel, would allow carrying even for non-food purposes. And that is the machlokis Beis Ham Beis Hillel. How do we know that Rabbi Yochanan says that? To Tani Tano Kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Someone taught the following source in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. And this Tanaic source goes to the top of Omid Beis. Hamavashel Gid Hanoshe B'cholov B'yom Tov V'ochloi Loike Chomesh. A person who would cook up the Gid Hanoshe, that's it's a type of nerve in the hind leg of a kosher variety animal. He cooks up this, and it's forbidden to eat the Gid Hanoshe, and he cooks it up in milk on Yom Tov and eats it. He has now violated five negative commands. That's Loke Chomesh, five lashings. Loke Mishum Mevashel Gid. First, we'll read through the source and then highlight the details. If you are noticing markings, all the better. The first set of malchus is because he's Mevashel Gid. He is cooking the Gid Hanoshe, and it's a type of cooking that has no Yom Tov purpose, because you're not going to eat it. So Bishul is an Av Malocha. So it's a cooking of something that's not fit for eating. V'loke Mishum Ochel Gid. He gets malchus for eating the Gid. The Torah prohibits eating the Gid. V'loke Mishum Mevashel Boser B'cholov. He gets lashing for the act of cooking meat and milk together. V'loke Mishum Ochel Boser B'cholov. And he gets lashing for eating the Gid that was cooked up in milk. So eating what's called Boser B'cholov, milk and meat together. V'loke, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Mishum Havora, for lighting the fire, for fueling the stove on which this was cooked. And that was not for a cooking, a firing up, a fueling of the oven for non-Yom Tov eating purposes. So upon hearing this source, Rabbi Yochanan reacts, Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says, Pok Toni Livra. Poke is to go outside with your Tanaic source. Libra means to the outside. Take it outside. Havara ubishal eino mishnah. To teach that for firing up fuel on Yom Tov and cooking on Yom Tov would result in lashing is simply eino mishnah. It's not accurate. The imtim shalomar mishnah, and if you insist on its being accurate, Beis Shammai hi, the Amri, then I would have to tell you that this is in accordance with Beis Shammai, that happened to hold Lo Amrinon. We do not say Mitoch Shehutra Hoitzah L'Tzorach Hutra Nami Shelo L'Tzorach. Hochanami Lo Amrinon Mitoch Shehutra Havoro L'Tzorach Hutra Nami Shelo L'Tzorach. Beis Shammai will tell you, just like in the case of carrying, we don't say, since carrying is allowed for tzorach, for a Yom Tov need, for a Yom Tov food need, we allow it for a non-Yom Tov food need. So too, here, we will not say, since we allow fueling for Yom Tov eating needs, we will allow fueling for non-Yom Tov eating needs. That restrictive approach, where we don't extend the heter beyond that which is directly food Yom Tov related, that is a Beis Shammai approach. And so then this source that's telling that you're going to get lashing for cooking, for fueling, for non-Yom Tov purposes, that would conform to Beis Shammai, Adi, Beis Hillel. Kevon the Amri, since they say, Mitoch Shehutra Hoitzo Letzorech, Hutra Nami, Hutra Nami Shelo Letzorech, just like we saw in the Mishnah that since one is allowed to carry for Yom Tov food purposes, you can carry for Yom Tov non-food purposes. Hochanami mitoch shehutra havora l'tzorach Hutranami Shalosoch. This source would have said that there's no malchus for havara, namely, just like there is havara, fueling a fire for cooking on Yom Tov is allowed, so fueling a fire for a non-Yom Tov cooking is also going to be allowed. In other words, it wouldn't be worthy or deserving of lashing. So, just to review what we've seen here, the concept of mitoch shuchu l'tzorach hutronami shel tzorach appears to be a base Hillel approach. The Gemara presented a Tanaic source that was taught in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, which seemed to say that we don't extend heterim. We don't say mitoch shuchu l'tzorach hutronami shel tzorach. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, that is according to base Shammai. And what the point that we were trying to make was to show that Rabbi Yochanan, in his approach to Hoytzah, is not an approach of that we saw by Rabbah, but rather like that taken by Rabbi Yosef, that the Hoytzah Mishnah that we had, our Mishnah, is representative of all Malachas, either we do or we do not say the principle of mitoch. Now, as we continue in the Gemara, we have on the side a topic heading. In this case, we have a general topic heading, Nosei Klali. We indicate that this continues to Yud Dalid Omer Aleph, in other words, a very long section of Gemara. Hafroshos Shoinos V'Kesher Le'ilchis Yom Tov. A very general introduction that will be dealing with the issue of hafroshes or separations or tithing things, different types of tithing, and its connection to the laws of Yom Tov. The immediate topic, the Nosei heading, we have Hoylochas Matonas Ro'el Chayayim V'chulei, the carrying of, or the conveyance of different animal parts when an animal is slaughtered in general terms, not Beis HaMikdash related, but wherever you live, there are specific animal parts that are given to a Kohen. And they happen to be called the Zroa, L'chaim, the Keva. The Zroa is the arm, the L'chaim, the cheek, and the Keva, the stomach, and there's much more detail. There's a whole perek in Maseches Chulin that deals with these matonas, but we gave a very general translation. Those are the matonis, the gifts that the Torah provides for the Kohanim to receive. Everyone's familiar, I'm sure, with Truma, the Truma tithe. There are many other tithes, there are many other gifts that the Torah grants Kohanim. So here we're going to be talking about the carrying of those animal parts, L'Kohen B'Yom Tov. Can you carry them to a Kohen on Yom Tov? And there are two aspects here, Shehufushu, Mayor of Yom Tov. Animal parts from an animal slaughtered and it was separated on the day before Yom Tov and Shufushu B'Yom Tov. As a result of it being slaughtered on Yom Tov day, so its separation was on Yom Tov. So, is there a difference to be made? Do we say, for example, look, on Yom Tov, you can carry things that are specifically Yom Tov related, but if you had something that you could have brought to the Kohen the day before, and you didn't bother doing it, and you waited for Yom Tov itself, maybe there's room for being restrictive. The Mishnah. Beis Shammai Omrim, Ein Moilichim Chalo Umatonas L'Kohen B'Yom Tov, Bein Shuhurmu Me'emesh, Bein Shuhurmu Me'hayom. One is not allowed to carry Chalo. Chalo is a tithe, a dough tithe, a fraction of the dough that a person prepares. If he prepares a certain minimum quantity, he must take off from that minimum quantity a certain fraction of the dough and give that to a Kohen. And matonas are the Zerua L'chaim V'keva, the animal parts. So Beis Shammai says you're not to bring them to a Kohen on Yom Tov. Whether they were separated, emesh means yesterday, before Yom Tov, bein shuhurmu mehayom, whether they were separated today. Now, as far as when was the animal slaughtered, so if they're animal parts that were separated yesterday, obviously the animal was slaughtered before Yom Tov. What about animal parts that were separated today. Does that mean that the animal was slaughtered today? So that's an open issue. The Gemara will have to deal with that. Beisilel matirin. Beisilel indicates that one is allowed to bring these to the Kohen. Omru lehem, and you can see there's a back and forth discussion. We use a little squiggle underline to help you to highlight the change in speaker. So Omru lehem Beishamai. Beishamai says to Beisilel, how can you be so lenient? Gzera shava, there's room for making a comparison. Chalo matonos equals matono l'kayin, utruma matono l'kayin. Truma wasn't mentioned till now, but Beis Shammai makes a point. There is chalo and matonos are a gift to the kayin. The truma is a gift to the kayin. Keshem she'ein molichin es ha-truma, kach ein molichin es ha-matonos. And just like you cannot bring a truma tithe to the kohen on Yom Tov, you can't bring these other gifts to the kohen either. Now, in order to argue like that, then it has to be that Beis Hillel agrees that Truma cannot be brought to the kohen on Yom Tov. In other words, you separated the Truma tithe Erev Yom Tov, so you should have brought it to the Kayin Erev Yom Tov, or seen to it that he gets it Erev Yom Tov. You don't do that on Yom Tov. You don't convey the Truma to the Kayin on Yom Tov. Just like you separated it Erev Yom Tov, it should have been presented to the Kayin Erev Yom Tov. We continue in the Mishnah. Omru lahem Beis Hillel, lo. Beis Hillel responds, negative. Im amartem b'truma, if you say regarding truma that we don't bring that to the kohen on Yom Tov, she'eino zakai bar almosa. It's not something that one is allowed to tithe on Yom Tov. There's a little more to that than just the translation we gave. Rashi says, she'eino zakoi. Zakoi means rashoi. Lo noslu chachom lodom koyach uschus b'haf roshosa. There's no permission to tithe the Truma tithe on Yom Tov. If we can elaborate just for a moment, when we say plant, we're referring to fruits, vegetables, grains. The Torah requires grains to be tithed. Rabbinic requirements extend that to other types of vegetation. When I say the Torah says Dogon Tirosh V'Yitzar, that's grains. Tirosh is wine, and Yitzar oil, olive oil. But beyond that, other kinds of fruits and vegetables are rabbinic. However, the need to tithe applies only when the vegetation has reached a certain level of processing. In other words, if you have vegetation growing in the field, and they become ripe, and they're still attached to the plants, so they're not obligated in being tithed at that point. If you want to bend over and eat from an apple growing on a tree, so there's no need to tithe that. It hasn't reached its point of obligation. The point of obligation, and the Gemara will debate this later on, but as, let's say, a general introduction to this topic, the obligation to tithe involves different kinds of melachos, and those can't take place on Yom Tov proper. So if something is chayav in Hafroshes Truma, it must have reached that chiyuv before Yom Tov set in. So Beis Hillel is telling Beis Shammai, don't try to use Truma as a springboard for the Chalo Matonis. Truma is something that one is not allowed to tithe on Yom Tov, whereas the challah matonis, one is allowed to bake, prepare a dough on Yom Tov. One is allowed to slaughter on Yom Tov, and hence the need for tithing them arises on Yom Tov, not comparable to Truma. And now we proceed to analyze the Mishnah, and after we come to a conclusion regarding the Mishnah, we're going to then point out that the Mishnah conforms only to one school of thought amongst the Tanoim, when many other Tanoim will disagree. So we have a little arrow in the margin, on the spot, or the space right next to the Gemara text. This is a quote from above. Kosalka daitoch shehurmu mehayom. Notice in the Mishnah the term shehurmu mehayom appeared. That term shehurmu mehayom equals vishinishchatu mehayom. Something that was separated from the animal today, was separated today because the animal was slaughtered today. And vishahurmu me'emesh, that expression that appeared in the Mishnah, vishenishchatu me'emesh, it's a reference to animals that were slaughtered the day before. So at this point, the thinking is that Beis Shammai, that says you cannot bring Zerah, you can't bring the matonis to the Kayan on Yom Tov, includes an animal slaughtered today on Yom Tov. So that all you'd be able to do is you'd separate them, but leave them in your house. And if you have a refrigerator, all the better. You leave them in the fridge. But you do not bring them to the Kohen, even though the animal was slaughtered today on Yom Tov. That's the initial thinking. And that's why the Gemara uses the term kosalkadaitov, which is a term that means initial thinking. Now, with that having been said, that Beis Shammai will aser Hilachas Matonas, even of animals slaughtered today on Yom Tov, Moni Masnisen. Who is our Mishnah? Who is the author of that? Lo Rabbi Yossi, Velo Rabbi Yehuda, Elo Achirim. So this we're presenting as a long question. Moni Mas, who is the author? And that's why I have a long question mark, basically taking in an entire Tanaic source, in which, upon superficial reading, our Mishnah will sound like the opinion of the Achirim. You might be asking, where are the Achirim? So scan down, look at your diamonds. There are three shitos, and we feature this on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei Mivneh. The topic is, in two words, Moni Masnisen, who is the author of the Mishnah. And the structural note features different geometric forms. The diamonds are gimel shitas, three opinions of Amai Pligi Beisham Beis Hillel. Under what circumstances or concerning what do they argue? And the double underline will highlight the expressions lo nechluk, will highlight the expression no nech, loy nechluku ela. In other words, when is their machlokas? Concerning what is their machlokas? And you'll also see a house marking is used to introduce the section of the source where you see logic is stated. So we continue now. After having said that our Mishnah could be authored only by the Achirim, which by the way is number 3 in terms of the diamonds, so let's see the source. Desanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. These three diamonds introduce different opinions as to what Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about concerning the topic of Hilachas Matonas. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda lo nechluku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel al hamatonas shehurmu me'erev yom tov shemolichinim hamatonas shehurmu me'ayom v'shenishchatu me'ayom. Rabbi Yehuda presents an opening, a type of leniency, that even those matonas that were separated erev yom tov, they can be carried together with those matonas that were separated on yom tov itself. Those matonas that were separated are from animals that were slaughtered today. They were separated today on yom tov. That would seem to indicate that they were, and I guess seem to indicate we're not at the final stage yet, but they were animals that were slaughtered today. So, that is not a machlokas. So, and I want to just emphasize, animals that were slaughtered today, you can bring the matonas to the Kohen, even according to Beis Shammai. They're not arguing about that. Lo yinechluku ela lahoylichon bifnei atzmon. The machlokas concerns carrying the matonas of yesterday by themselves. Animal parts that are given to the Kohen from an animal slaughtered the day before Yom Tov, you do not carry them on their own to a Kohen on Yom Tov. Beis Hillel says, yes, you can. And here is the logic. Thus, donin means they reasoned. Chala matonos equals matona lekoyin, uchuma equals matona lekoyin. The chala, the dough tithe, and the animal tithe, the meat tithe, are a gift to the kohen, and truma is a tithe that one takes off from his vegetation, his grains. That is also a matona lekoyin. Kishen shein molichin es truma, kach ein molichin es hamatonas. Just like you cannot carry truma, you basically agree with that. You can't bring that to the kohen. So too, you cannot bring the matonas. And again, which matonas? Yesterday's matonas. You can't bring them to the kohen on Yom Tov. Amru lohem beishat beisilo lo. Beisilo says that's not accurate. That's reasoning has a hole in it. Im amartem betruma, if you said there's a restriction regarding truma, sheino zakoi barmoso, you don't come to tithe truma, the truma tithe on Yom Tov to begin with. Tomru b'matonas shazakoi barosan, the realm of matonas, the Yisrael Chaim v'keva, the chala, these are things that you can make the tithe, their tithe, on Yom Tov. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Lo nechluku beishamai ubeishilel al hamatonas shemolichin. Rabbi Yossi says there is no machlokis about carrying matonas to a kohen, and he seems to be very open. Whenever they were prepared, whenever they were slaughtered, even from before Yom Tov, you can bring those matonas to the kohen on Yom Tov. Lo nechluku elo ala truma. The whole machlokes is only regarding truma. Shebeishamai umim ein molichin beisilam umim molichin. This is very lenient. Beishamai says you can't bring the truma, but Beisil says you can bring even truma to a kohen on Yom Tov. V'kachoye Beisil donim. And thusly Beisil reasoned. Chal matonas matonu lekohen utruma matonu lekohen. The dough tithe and the animal tithe, the animal section limb tithe, is a gift to the kohen, and the truma maton the kohen. Kishem shemolichas matonas, just like you agree, you base shamai agree, you can be moilich matonas, you can carry matonas to the kohen on Yom Tov. Kach molichin es truma. So too with regard to truma. Amru lohem beishamai. Beishamai says no. You're making a comparison that's not accurate. They say, "Lo imamartim b'matonas shezakoy b'ramoson." If you say by matonas you can carry them on Yom Tov to the kohen, that's because the nature of those matonas is something that you can separate on Yom Tov. Tomru b'truma she'ein zakoy b'ramoson. Truma is not something that you're allowed to tithe on Yom Tov. Achirim omrim. And I hope it's clear as we're going along. We see Reb Yehuda, we saw Reb Yossi. They are presenting the machlokas Beisham Beis Hillel in a different way than our Mishnah presented it. And now our hope is, as we read the Achirim, this will appear familiar. Achirim omrim lo yinechlugu Beisham Beis Hillel al hatruma she'im olichin. Everyone agrees you don't carry truma to the kohen on Yom Tov, and that is what we saw in our Mishnah. Lo nechluku elo al hamatonas. The machlokas concerns matonas. Now, when the achirim say al hamatonas, it seems regarding all matonas, even regarding animals shechted today on Yom Tov. Shebeishamar meim olichin, you don't carry matonas whatsoever to the kohen on Yom Tov. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. When we read our Mishnah, we read Bein Shehur Mumeyamish, Bein Shehur Mumeyayom, and we are working with an assumption that the expression Bein Shehur Mumeyayom is a reference to animals that were slaughtered today on Yom Tov, and hence the animal parts that are brought to the Kohen, our gifts to the Kohen, were also separated today on Yom Tov. And Beis Shammai says, you cannot bring them to the Kohen. That's Beis Shammai Ein Molichin, Beis Hillel Omrim Molichin. So now, leimo achirim hi v'lo Rabbi Yehuda. Shall we say that our Mishnah is in accordance with the achirim and not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda? And why is that? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, we saw a greater leniency than the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it seems that if you slaughtered an animal on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai will allow you to carry those animal limb tithes to the kohen. According to our Mishnah, not so. Even though it's slaughtered today on Yom Tov, you cannot bring the different gifts to the Kohen. So shall we say that the Mishnah is in accordance with the Achirim and not like Rabbi Yehuda? On the side, we have our Nosei Mivneh heading. Siyum Hashela Shel Moni Masnisin. The Gemara here at this point is simply continuing to the conclusion of the question of who is the author. Triangles appear, and the triangle with the point up, Lemo Achirim Velo Rabbi Yehuda. We're attempting to say at this point that our Mishnah is in accordance with the Achirim and not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. And then the inverted triangle is Hafuch, Lemo Rabbi Yehuda Velo Achirim. Shall we suggest that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda and not in accordance with the Achirim? So let's see how the Gemara proposes this. Lemo, with the first triangle with the point facing upwards, Lemo. Lemo Achirim hi velo Rabbi Yehuda. Shall we say that our Mishnah is in accordance with the Achirim and not in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda? In other words, our Mishnah was more restrictive than Rabbi Yehuda. Omar Rava. So Rava responds, Mi Kotoni, does it say in our Mishnah Shehurmu Mehayom Veshe Nishchatu Mehayom? It doesn't say that in our Mishnah. All that our Mishnah says is Shehurmu. If you look at the first arrow, if you just go up the page and see the first arrow on the page, it says Shehurmu Mehayom. Ula Olam, when the Mishnah says Shehurmu Mehayom, it's Lolim Shchitos and Me'emesh. These are animal limbs from an animal slaughtered Erev Yom Tov. Oh, it was slaughtered Erev Yom Tov. That's what Beis Shammai asers, that's what he prohibits. But as far as animals that were slaughtered on Yom Tov proper, there even Beis Shammai will allow you to carry them to the Kohen. Well, that having been said, Lemo Rabbi Yehuda Hivalo Kachirim. Well, since you're saying that our Mishnah is limited in its restriction, in the Beis Shammai restriction, to animals slaughtered Erev Yom Tov, but slaughtered today, there would be no problem, then that would sound like Rabbi Yehuda, not like the Achirim, because the Achirim, they answered bringing matonas. It sounds across the boards, even matonas of animals slaughtered today. But once you set up the mission like Rabbi Yehuda, so now we're going to say the mission is like Rabbi Yehuda, not like the Achirim. No, afilu temo Achirim. The Mishnah can read like the Achirim as well. And when the Mishnah, when the Achirim said, "Lo nechlu ela matosh veishamer ein molichin matonas," that's ubahanoch dinishchatu meyemesh. That when you see ein molichin in the name under the name of Achirim, that's a reference to those animals slaughtered from before Yom Tov. That is what is osir. But animals slaughtered today, you can bring them to the Kohen. So on Ihochi, if that's how you're going to interpret things, Hainu Rabbi Yehuda. Then it comes out that the Achirim is the same as Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda asks only the carrying of the matonis of animals slaughtered the day before, but slaughtered on Yom Tov, he allows. So is there no difference between the two? Iko Binayu Tfeila. The difference comes in the case of Tfeila. Now, what's Tfeila? So let's go directly to Rashi. Just a couple lines down. Tfeila. Rabbi Yehuda matir litapeu ulahoylich shel emesh im shel hayom. What about in those matonas that of animals slaughtered from Erev Yom Tov? Can you bring them along with matonas that were slaughtered of animals slaughtered today? So Rabbi Yehuda is lenient in that respect. Uve'achirim savri dafilu letapel nami asri beishamai. Even together with muter matonas, beishamai will still say, don't bring along yesterday's matonas. Umasnisin delo airi betfeila klal. Our Mishnah doesn't deal with that issue. Iko lemeimak Rabbi Yehuda v'iko lemeimak Achirim. You can set up the Mishnah like either Rabbi Yehuda or the Achirim. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, when it speaks about ein molichin, that's only with regard to animals slaughtered Erev Yom Tov. So with regard to those things, animals slaughtered Erev Yom Tov, both within Reb Yehuda and the Achirim, there is an element of restriction, the question of how far does it go, but the Mishnah doesn't deal with the issue of Tfeilah. We now continue with the Gemara. Omar, Reb Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Halacha, Reb Yossi. What does that mean? Halacha is like Reb Yossi. So of course you saw Reb Yossi above, and he was very, very lenient. And you know what the result of that was? That according to Beis Hillel, you can even bring Truma to a Kohen on Yom Tov. Rav Tuvi, Braid Rav Nechemya, Havile, Garva, the Chama, the Truma. Rav Tuvi had a Garva, a flask of Truma wine. Also the Kame, the Rav Yosef. He came to Rav Yosef, Omar lo, mahu lam tui l'kohen hu'idna. Can I bring this flask of Truma wine to a Kohen today on Yom Tov? Omar le, Rav Yosef responds, hochi om Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Yosi. We rule like Rav Yosi, and therefore it will be mutter to bring the Truma wine to the Kohen on Yom Tov. Ushbezichne de Rava bar Rav Chonon, havile asuraisa de chardala. Ushbezichne is an innkeeper, who was frequented by Rava, Rava Barav Chonan. So this innkeeper had a asuraisa, a bundle of chardal. And the chardal is, it's a plant. In modern Hebrew, chardal is associated with mustard. For our purposes, though, we don't have to translate all. We should have to realize that it's basically very fresh or raw chardal. It's still in the chardal is a type of seed that grows in pods. So the chardal, in this case, it's bundles of chardal in their pods. Omar le, mahu lifruchi umechal minayu biyomtov. So the innkeeper asked Rava Barav Chonon, can I crush the pods, or like open the pods, it's the fruchi is to crush the pods, and eat from their contents, eat the seeds. So the question is this lifruchi, the crushing of the pods, is this allowed? Now, before we go further, let's take a look at the Rashi at the end of the narrow lines. Ma'u lifruchi hasharbitin. The sharbitin are the pods. Ulahoitzi hazera biyobdaven, to extract the seed from within. Mi shori biyomtov kishvita ukebishul, is this allowed? Just like we allow slaughtering and we allow cooking, so we'll allow this too. Oy dilma, kevon de efshir me'er of yomtov lo, the toldas disha hu. Since this is something that you could have done erev yomtov. Not this. We don't say the same thing with regarding shchita and bishul. In the case of bishul, you couldn't have done it erev yom tov. You want it to be fresh. You're going to leave it, you're going to prepare it erev yom tov, especially without refrigeration. It's not going to be fresh, and even with refrigeration, it's still not the same as fresh. However, in the case of the seeds from the chardal, doesn't matter if you do it today or did it yesterday. It was something you could have done erev yom tov. We're not going to let you do it on yom tov. The toldas disha hu. It's an extension of the malacha of threshing. Threshing grain is where the outer peel or the shell of the grain is crushed, and as a result of the disha, the crushing of the shell of the grains, you're eventually able to get the seed, the kernel out, the meat of the grain out. So how are we to view this process of mafrichin the chardal? So can you do this smashing of the pod on Yom Tov? That was the question, but the Ushbezichne, the innkeeper, posed to Rava Barav Chonon, lo hava biyode, and he did not have an answer. Also lekame de Rava, this, don't confuse the names, this is a different Rava. So Rava Rav Chonon came to Rava Omar Lei, and he answered. Again, it could be someone came to Rava, maybe it was the innkeeper that he came to Rava, and he says, and Rava answered definitively, Moilulin Malilois Umifachin Kitnios Biyomtov. You can do these procedures. Molin Malilos, Rashi says right under the Gemara text, Molin Malilos Didosh Kilachar Yadu. It's a threshing in an unusual fashion. Elo midrabanan. Even if you do moilin melilos, this has to do with the crushing of grains, but in an unusual fashion on Shabbos. Even if it were done on Shabbos, it would not be a Torah violation. On Yom Tov, we allow you to do it. And molin is a process of crushing the shells of the grains by hand. So Rava says you can do molin melius and mefach and kitnius that on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, there would be an Issur Durabonon. On Yom Tov, it would be mutter. And why is it mutter? Because the rabbis who made it also say that the Issur doesn't apply to Yom Tov. Eisvei Abaye. Abaye challenges this. We read a Tanaic source, and let's just skip to the Gemara right after the Tanaic source, where there's a diuk that is made. And the source indicates doing the Moilin Melilois Me'erev Yom Tov in B'Yom Tov Lo. The source gives a heter for doing it Erev Yom Tov. You don't really need a heter. Erev Yom Tov is a weekday. But you're allowed to do it on the Erev Yom Tov, not on Yom Tov itself. So Rava says, yes, Moilin Melilos. The Tanaic source will indicate not so. The source, however, also features Shabbos as well as Yom Tov. So it opens with Shabbos. Eisve Abaye. Hamoilo Melilos Me'erev Shabbos. One who did the Melila process of the grains, crushing the grains, shells on Friday. L'mochar menapech miyad liyad v'ochol. On Shabbos, you can, menapech is to blow, cause the shell, also the chaff, to separate from the grain. And that's menapech miyad liyad. It involves tossing the grains from one hand to the other, which is an unusual thing, as shelo kederach oil, so you can do that. But you cannot use implements for that. Avaloba konon veloba tamchoi. Konon and tamchoi. Rashi describes the konon as a funnel-shaped vessel. When you put the grains in one end, so the shells will fall out the other end. And the tamchoi is a large bowl. They represent, for our purposes, vessels. Hamoilel melilos me'erev Yom Tov, one who does the grain crushing from Erev Yom Tov, lemochor menapeach al yad. Now, be very careful. Al yad is not miyad liyad, rather it's a quantity. Al yad means a small amount. You can do the menapeach, the blowing away, just as long as you use small amounts, and eat the grains. Here you can see the difference. We allow you to use these kind of vessels. However, not to use these other types of vessels, because there it gives you the impression that you're going to be processing a large quantity. You're processing it for tomorrow, for after Yom Tov. And that's not allowed. Now, what we want to do is focus on what's germane to our discussion. The initial crushing of the grain process. Me'erev Yom Tov. In the source featured Me'erev Yom Tov, B'Yom Tov Lo. But not on Yom Tov. Oh, what did Rava answer before? He says, you can be Moilin Melilos on Yom Tov. Here you see, not so. Gemara responds, Afilu Temo B'Yom Tov. The source will in fact allow you to do Moilin on Yom Tov proper, v'ayditon ereshim Erev Shabbos, since the opening of the source featured Friday, Erev Shabbos, the day before Shabbos, tona seifonami me Erev Yom Tov. The continuation of the source mentions Erev Yom Tov, but not to exclude thereby Yom Tov proper, because Yom Tov proper also is allowed. So now, let's think about this. You're going to be crushing the grain shells on Yom Tov. After grain shells are crushed, there is now, that arouses the chiyuv hafrasha, the chiyuv to tithe truma. So now, if you're allowing moilin melilos on Yom Tov proper, so I have a situation where you enter a chiyuv truma on Yom Tov proper. The Mishnah indicated, though, that Truma and the Chiyuv to tithe the Truma tithe does not arise on Yom Tov. So let's see the Gemara. Im Kain, if this is true, namely that the source we read like is like Rava wants to read it, that Molim Lius can be done on Yom Tov itself, Matsinu Truma Shezakai Baharamasa. If now introduced a situation where you become chayev and be mafrish truma on Yom Tov day, utnan, and we saw earlier, lo, imamarte betruma shena zakai bar masa. We saw this in our Mishnah, where Beis Hillel responded to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, oh, when it comes to truma is different than matonis. You can't come to a chiyuv truma on Yom Tov, therefore, I can see that you don't carry the truma to the kohen on Yom Tov. But according to what we're saying now, Mulin Mulilas, that is a form of threshing, and as a result of that, you now are chayav in being mafresh trumas, and you're allowed to do this on Yom Tov. So you're coming to a chiyuv truma on Yom Tov. So we have a problem right now. We've got Rava's psak on the one hand, is seemingly countered by the Mishnah's teaching. The Gemara says, lo kashya, no problem. And we have a marking on the side under the Mivneh, two tshuvos l'sheila hanal. There are two responses to the question just before. So let's just back up a bit into our tatnose. Let's read what we have there on the side of the Gemara. Dover habali de chiyuv truma b'yom tov hayitochein. Can something come to a chiyuv, to an obligation to be tithed on Yom Tov itself? Harezeh negin haMishnah. The Mishnah indicated, not so. So the Gemara continues. Lo kashya. There is no difficulty. We continue at the top of Yud Gimel Ma'alef. Ha Rebbe, ha Rebbe Yossi bar Yehuda. There are two different Tanaic positions on this matter. Rashi at the very top. Ha Rebbe, ha Rebbe Yossi bar Yehuda. Lo'ilo me'ilim l'z divrei kol. Everyone will agree that you're allowed to Moilu Melilas, crushing of grains by hand on Yom Tov, like Rava Paskin, do the Kashiloch, and then you'll ask, well, came Matsinu Truma Shezakai Bar Masa. So then we've created a situation where a Chiyuv Truma arises for its first time on Yom Tov. What says in? Vadai Matsinu. Yeah, there is that possibility. Aliva de Rebbe, the Yom Ariyesh Truma Melilas. Rebbe holds that you would have to tithe the grains after you did the melilos, after the crushing by hand. Our Mishnah that says, well, you can't find a case where there's a truma obligation that arises on Yom Tov. That's Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. That's according to Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. I'm going to ain truma the melilos. That you don't tithe truma in the as a result of melilos. Now, we read this in the Gemara. Disanya, hichnis shibolim. A person brought into his house sheaves of grain. Lasos mem isa, to make from them dough. Ochel mehen aroi upoter. As long as it hasn't been threshed and winnowed and made into a pile, you can eat from them aroi, a called snacking fashion. Aroi literally means temporary, as opposed to kavua, something that's fixed. It's aroi, for our purposes, we're saying a snacking fashion. And poter means that he's exempt from tithing. Lemoilun bemulilus, let's say he brought the grains into his house for the purpose of crushing them by hand. Rashi adds here, Yichnisun lo'ochlon ma'at ayadei melilos. He's not planning to make a large pile at one time, but rather he's going to consume the grains little by little. Rebbe Mechayev, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, Poter. Rebbe says even melilos is chayev in hafroshas truma. In other words, that once you do melilos, once you crush them by hand, you're not allowed to eat from them, even aroi, until you do a hafrosha. Rashi points out, bringing them into the house with this purpose in mind, that is their gemar malacha. when we speak about a Gemara Malacha, of course, that means at that point it becomes fixed and established as needing to be tithed. Rabbi Yossi Biyuda, on the other hand, he will be what our Mishnah holds, that the crushing of them is, it's true that's allowed on Yom Tov, but it doesn't bring it to a Chiyuv HaFrosha. And Rashi adds, let's read the Rashi together. Rabbi Yossi Biyuda poter degoncha. See, if the pasuk says regarding tithes, it uses the word degoncha. V'hainu miruach. The ain digun elo kibbutz kri. Miruach is a process where a pile of grains is smoothed out. Once a person threshes a lot of grains, creates a pile and smooths it out, that creates the chiyuv to tithe. When you're doing melilos, so you're not doing that. You're not making a kri, a large pile. The Gemara continues. We're now asking a question on Rava, who says it's mutter to do melilos. And Rava's comment that it's mutter to do melilos is also... it doesn't run into any objection from that which, based on the Mishnah, who said "Ein zakoi baromasa," because we wanted to say our Mishnah was according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara asks, "Ule Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, nami mishkachas la kigo sheichnis shibolim lasois mehen isa venimlach alehen." Lemoilulon biyontov, the tivla biyomei. Now we saw on the just a line, a couple lines up at the top. We said hichnis shibon lasus mem isa. Let's say a person brought the grains, and we're going within the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Yehuda. He brought grains in for the purpose of making dough out of it, and then he changed his mind to do melilos on Yom Tov. Even Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda would agree that there is a chiyuv truma. When did Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda exempt? That's when your initial purpose of bringing the grains in the house was for melilos. But if your initial purpose of bringing the grains into the house was to make from them dough, as opposed to melilos, which we saw in Rashi before, is lo'ochlan ma'at ma'at, to eat them little by little. But no, if you initially brought them in the house, these grains, for making dough, then you change your mind to do melilos, even Rabbi Yossi Biyuda would agree that there's a chiyuv hafrosha. So that if Rava is correct, that you're allowed to be molim melilos, given this scenario of where he brought it in initially for making dough, and then he had this change of mind to do melilos, it becomes tevel. Tevel is that which is awaiting tithing on that very day, on Yom Tov itself. Rashi explains this in a somewhat elaborate fashion, and let's look at it together. We have a little star, and we read the Rashi, Uparchinon. The Rava di Omar Molilin, according to Rava, who says you're allowed to do Melilas on Yom Tov, the Rabbi Yossi Biyuda Nami, Ishoris Mom B'Yom Tov, even according to Rabbi Yossi Biyuda, if we allow Melilas on Yom Tov, Mishkachas Lo Al Korchos Shezakai Baramosa, Melilas Shechnisen Lasos Isa B'Disha Meruach, in a case where a person brought his grains in for the purpose of threshing them and making a pile out of them, V'Nimla Chalein L'Molulon, and then he had a change of mind for Melila, Lehatznion Kulam Melilas, to take all the sheaves of grain and put them aside for melilos eating. The Al Korchach, Moedim Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi Biyuda will agree the Tivlon B'Yom Shenim L'Chalein. On the day that he had this change of mind, then the Tevel label gets stuck to them. The Kevon D'Echnisen L'Shem Goren Gomor, since in this case he brought them in initially for regular granary purposes, Yardo Lehem Toras Trumas Amaisis. The potential of Trumas and Maisis attaches to them. And then when he had this change of mind to do Melilas, Nases Hachno Sosoi Goren, then his mere bringing it into the house was the Goren, the, we'll call it the grain stage. V'hamoylulon b'yom tov al korchoi meirim trumasan. And as a result of that, one who does melila to those sheaves of grain that he initially brought in for making Esau out of it, making a pile of grain and making it eventually into dough, well, you see that at when he changes his mind for melila purposes, it also becomes chayev in hafrosha. And the Mishnah indicated that you can't come to a chiyuv hafrosha on Yom Tov. The Gemara answers, Elo my truma. The Mishnah mentioned that by truma ein zakoi b'haramasa. What is meant by truma when the Mishnah says that? Roiv truma. It means in the majority of truma cases, you're not going to find a chiyuv of hafroshas trumas arising on Yom Tov day. We have this unusual case that we just featured. That's unusual, but in general, rove cases of truma, the majority case of truma, you don't find a chiyuv of hafroshas truma arising on Yom Tov. Not so, though, in the case of chala and matonas. So, with that approach, and you see the second bow tie is simply the second way of defending Rava's psak, that you are allowed to do Moilin Melilis. It is true that in the unusual case where you brought them in for the purpose of making a goren out of it, a pile of grain out of it, and then you had this change of mind that the chiyuv hafrosha sets in on Yom Tov itself, but that's an unusual case. Most cases of Truma, the Chiyuv of Truma does not set in on Yom Tov itself. Because in order for the Truma Chiyuv to set in, you're going to have to do Malachas that are usher to do on Yom Tov. You would have had to do them before Yom Tov for a Chiyuv of Truma to arise. And as we said, that puts Truma in a different league, a different category from that of Chala and Matonis. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.